hand up there, the worksheet. Good. All right. What's that? What's that? See how? Well, right now we're okay. Reminder, Sweetheart Banquet. It says at 5:30. We eat at 5:30. 5:30, we're going to say, we're going to pray, and we're going to start eating. So don't wait to come at 5:30 and wander in or quarter or six or something, because we'll be eating. But anyway, just thought I'd remind you about that. And the guys who are helping us with the flooring, we will, I got a couple guys coming in tomorrow afternoon to get the adhesive down. It's a kind of adhesive, never really quite gets hard. We're going to put that down tomorrow afternoon. And at 6 o'clock, we have a bunch of guys coming in, and we may do a little trade-off. Tag team laying, floor laying or something, because after a while your knees, but we got several guys, going to be a good number of guys, but we'll all be there and we'll get that job done. We'll be able to knock that thing out pretty good timing. And so I appreciate that. And see, it was one other thing. Oh, the Bible conference. Don't forget Monday night, Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night. We really want you to be here. We're going to have one preacher this time, and so we won't be late. We'll start at 7 o'clock. We'll probably get out by quarter after 8 or something, rather than being, you know, the extra 9 o'clock. A lot of times we have two preachers. We're going to do the one preacher. Then Tuesday morning we're going to have two preachers. Come in about 9:30, have a little bit of a light breakfast, and then we'll have the first preacher at 10, the second at 11, and lunch at 12. And I think we're having chicken parmesan. That should be good. And so it's free. Just make sure you, it'd be awful nice if you would put your name out there so we know about how to plan. So I really want you, if you can be here for one of them in the morning, well, I'll have to leave for the second one, or I can't get there till the second one. All right, come and get what you can. Well, if I come, I got to be in my work clothes. Come in your work clothes. Same thing for Monday and Tuesday night. Be here. That's the important part. Get the Word of God. Do what you can. I appreciate, to be honest with you, folks making the extra effort to be here. It doesn't bother me. We're not a museum, and we're here to hear the Word of God and see what the Lord can do. So you come, and we would appreciate it. It's going to be a blessing to you. All righty, here we go. Let's pray first, because my introduction is kind of walking through some scripture, and then I'm going to roll right into number one. So let's go ahead and pray for our message tonight. And I know this sounds kind of strange, launching out into unknown impossibilities. I know that sounds kind of strange, but hang tight with me. Launching out into unknown impossibilities. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, and I thank you for these dear folks who have such a desire to hear from your word, even in the middle of the week, to hear what you have to say. And Lord, these are the kind of folks, Lord, you're really going to work. I know some folks would probably love to be here, just can't. I understand that too. But these folks have put forth the effort to be here. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Give us your word. Give us your wisdom. We ask for your spirit. Again, Lord, nothing can be done of eternal value without your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this evening. And I need you, especially in a message like this. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Luke. We should be in Luke. And let's look back at chapter 4, verse 31, if you will. Now, remember where we are in Luke 3:22. Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit ascended upon him the bodily form of a dove. And God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so he had the filling of the Spirit at his baptism. Now, just because God did that for Jesus doesn't mean that that's when you get it yourself, okay? Don't put that connection. For instance, almost every time you see a miracle in the Bible, God does it differently. Very seldom are there really two times that he does it the same way. Sometimes he touched their eyes and their eyes were open. Sometimes he spits on the ground and makes a mud pie and puts it on his eyes and opens up his eyes. We don't all know what's going on in the hearts of the person who's being healed, the people around them, and so forth and so on. And so, you know, someone said, "Well, you can't have if you didn't cry when you got saved, you're not saved." Well, that's not true. You know, I've seen people laugh, almost giggle. You know, I've seen people go. I had a lady just the other day. She got finished praying to receive Christ. She says, I've had this before. I've told you about one of her other ladies did this too. This just the other day, and she says, "Can I hug you?" You know, she just couldn't. You know, she was saved. She was like, "Wow, you know, you saved my life. Can I give you a hug?" And so there's all kinds of different ways. And so don't try to do that. But in this particular instant, the Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God wanted to make sure we saw that. So I think he made a deal out of it there. Same thing when we get saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But in John 20:20, the resurrected Christ came and breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." But then he tells them before they, he said, "Now you're going to wait in Jerusalem, be endued with power, so that you be witnesses of the Holy Spirit." Well, did they get more of the Holy Spirit? No, they were endued with the power of the Holy Spirit when they waited and surrendered. You say, well, why did it wait? Does somebody need to breathe on me so that I've received the Holy Spirit? No, God was putting it out in parts so that we could understand it and see the elements that we have as a Christian. So you got to be careful. Don't overstate some things. So he received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. In chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness by the Spirit where he was tempted. He was tempted, but when the old devil tempts you, you resist the devil and he'll flee. And you resist by being steadfast in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How do I know it's true? This is what God's word said, and that's exactly what Jesus did to Satan. Satan comes at him with these things, and his answer was with the word of God. When he gets all finished with that, we come to chapter, he returns in the filling of the Spirit, and he preached some places, and they received him. He preached other places, starting in chapter 4, verse 14, he preached at his hometown, and they didn't like it. Well, starting in 16 there. He preached his hometown. Same spirit, but they didn't like it. So just because you don't get the response you want doesn't mean necessarily you've done it wrong. Now you should go back and make sure you have it, but doesn't mean for sure. So he has done that and he moves on. Then it comes to verse 31. It says he came down to Capernaum. So he left Nazareth right about the time they were ready to push him over the hill. Verse 31, he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. So he went into where there was a crowd in the Jewish synagogue. There was a crowd there, so he taught them. And they were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, for his word, his speaking, was with power. There was an authority behind what he said. There was a special ability. And let me say this again. When you're filled with the Spirit, when you're yielding to the Spirit speaks to the heart as you speak to the ears. And there's something down inside that says, this is real. I don't know why I believe it's real, but it's real. This guy believes it's real. I've heard some people say, well, I don't believe. I've had people go to church and they say, do you believe this? No, but I know he believes it. And there's something, and so if you come and the faith comes by hearing by the word of God, if someone who really believes it, it's part of who they are, it's part of the fabric of their soul, you preach that the Holy Spirit's going to bless that, and it brings others to Christ. So he came with power and authority. Verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what? What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, that means that the Sabbath was now over, all they that had sick with diverse diseases brought them into him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into the desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Look at verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, For therefore am I sent. Therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now I believe this whole one of the reasons why he rebuked all these demons, because he didn't want them following them to get truth. You got to be careful. A lot of folks who work with a lot of half truths, and we're not careful, we'll say, well, he mentioned God and he said this, so must everything else that the person said must be right. There's a lot of charlatans around, and some of them make their way to TV and radio sometimes. We've got to be careful to make sure that we're listening to the Word of God and not to somebody who's going to suck us into something we shouldn't be into. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, that's why he said he came, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. By the way, that's Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret. It's just used by different terms there. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, dumbfounded, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now there's several statements that are in here in this passage that Luke specifically wanted you to hear. Now if you have a red letter edition, you can find it. If we start in verse 43 of chapter 4, Jesus says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. First 4 of chapter 5, Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And then chapter 5, verse 10 says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. There are several statements there, and those were the ones that Luke specifically, guided by the Holy Spirit, brought out. He came to preach the kingdom of God. Then he tells these men, launch out into the deep. You got something big coming on. And then he explains, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. After being rejected by his hometown, Jesus goes on and just keeps on preaching. And you notice how he taught with power and authority. And again, as this theme I've been talking about, as a spirit-filled man. Let me give you number one in our paper here tonight. Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God, the authority of God. John the Baptist said he came to preach the kingdom of God. You know, that's one reason why people don't get saved. They don't really feel like God has any authority over them. They are answerable to him. We start realizing that we're answerable. The fear of God. Once we get the fear of God, we're going to realize who we are and who we are and who we're not. And all of a sudden, we're going to need a Savior. Because John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God, but the baptism of repentance. When Jesus came, we saw that in Matthew and Luke, that he came to preach the kingdom of God. What is that? God's in authority. Now, Jesus, he said in verse 43, you have it on your paper, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Letter B, his primary task, his primary calling, his primary task was to preach the gospel so that folks can receive it once salvation is provided by the shedding of his blood. He's saying, I'm coming. I'm going to give you the gospel. And once he sheds his blood on the cross, salvation is now available. And he's preaching it. Jesus healed people. He cast out demons. But that was not his primary task. He didn't say, I came to cast out demons. He didn't say, I came to heal people. He did do that. But his primary task is, it says, for therefore am I sent to preach the kingdom of God. Letter C. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. We saw that. He preached with power and authority. Now, if his primary task was to preach the gospel, then the primary reason he was filled with the Spirit was to preach the gospel. To give the gospel. We're going to see some other things here. That's his primary. It's all fine and dandy. And the fact is, we like the warm and fuzzies and the presents. But the fact is, we have a job to do. Now listen, I enjoy running around and being close to my dad. And the fact is, I enjoy the antique cars, but I enjoy the antique cars because I was going to be with dad. If there was any antique cars nearby, dad was there. And so I knew if I could find an antique car, I'd find my dad. You know, I mean, we spent a lot of time together. My goal in life was not to be with antique cars. My goal in life was to be with my dad. But if I was going to be with my dad, I was probably going to be around some antique cars. Listen, when you're giving out the gospel, you're going to see a lot of needs. And you may have to meet a lot of needs. Sometimes they're financial, sometimes they're spiritual, sometimes they're emotional. I don't know what the need might be. There's a lot of needs. And God does show himself by doing miraculous things. But his purpose is not to do the miraculous in the physical. His purpose is to do the miraculous in the spiritual. Listen, only God can have you, I'm going to say it this way, be born again, all right? Only God can born again you. Only God can save you, make you a new creation in Christ. That's the real thing he's really looking for. Now, the fact is, you know as well as I do, if you're saved, you know it in your heart. But when you try to give that to somebody else, it almost seems elusive. How do you do that? You're almost scared. You're almost like, well, I don't know how to do that. I wish I could. How do you do that? Well, God, he says here, you saw something. I'm going to show you something even bigger. Letter D, letter C, he was filled with the Spirit. Letter D, Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. Now let me read this scripture here. You've got it on your paper there, Luke 5, 1. This is our main passage. By the way, this passage in Luke 5 isn't in any of the other gospels. It isn't in any of the other gospels. This account here. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, which is what he was doing, it's what he came to do, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. Now the fact is, the reason they were out of them and washing their nets was because you fish at night. They would fish at night at the cool of the evening, and the fish would come up and feed all the bugs that fell in the water and this and that and the other thing, because during the day it's much too hot and the water's too warm for the fish. They could just up and die. You ever see a fish kill because the water gets too hot? They didn't come up during the day. They came up at night. So they had been fishing all night, and so they had come up, so the guys were done. They hadn't caught much, but they had been out. These are professional fishermen. They know how this works. And so it says there, verse 2, and they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now think about it. These two boats are sitting right there along on the seashore, and Simon and probably Andrew, his brother, and James and John, they're all washing the nets. And while they're washing the net, this Jesus guy climbs up into their boat. I said, come on. Got something we want to do. I want you to launch out a little bit. He entered into one of them, and Simon prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. Just go out a little bit. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, the fact is, the sound of his voice would echo off the water. And so it would kind of flip, go off the water. So, and of course, the water was, unless it was a storm, it really wasn't the ocean. So it wasn't, you know, a lot of this stuff. So he could speak to them from there. So he told them, let's go out. Number two. Basically, he's telling them this. And they don't know this yet. Launch into the unknown and see the impossible. Launch into the unknown and see the impossible. Look at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. When I look up that word draught, D-R-A-U-G-H-T, it kind of has the idea of a catch, but a real haul of a catch. I mean, he made a haul on that. He made a real haul on that deal. You ever hear that phrase? I mean, maybe he was doing, but he made a real haul on that deal. All right, well, that's what he's talking about. He says, you want a real haul. You want to see something? Launch out into the deep. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. See, that's weighing you fish all night. And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Jesus saying, I want to show you something you never thought of, or at least you never thought possible. I want to show you something that's beyond you. By the way, often God is trying to show us something that's beyond us. See, so often we want to walk by sight, not by faith. And God gets in you and God does something. Then I'm not saying jump out and say, I'm going to start this whole new ministry. Everybody's got to get in on it or something. But it's usually something in your own heart that, you know, the Word of God is preached, and whether I mention it or something, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, here's something I want you to do. And you're sitting underneath the preaching, the Holy Spirit's moving, you think, I need to do this. I'm going to do it. Yes, I am. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. This time I'm going to do it. And by the time you get in the car and head about a mile away from the car, it's already faded. Because, well, you know what? Well, that's kind of silly. God can't use me to do that. It never happened before. Never seen anybody else do that. Well, there's only one place where it says he made mud balls and made the guy's eyes see. How do you fix eyes by putting dirt in them? Spit-filled dirt. That can't happen. That's why the liberals and the critics want to say, well, the Word of God is silly, because that doesn't work. Well, it works for God. It doesn't work for you. It works just fine for God. Well, why is he doing it like that? Because he knows it doesn't work for you. He wants you to see something only he can do. So he says, I want you to launch out. Let her be. That really does mean thrust yourself out. Set sail. Put out to sea where you don't know what's going to happen. Just go on out there. Well, we've been out there. Well, we're not going to see anything in the middle of the day like this. It's hot. The fish aren't going to come up. They're not biting. They weren't biting last night. Why in the world do you think they're going to bite now? Go out. Launch out into the deep. Let her see there. Into the deep. That word deep is interesting. The word you're looking for at the end of the line is mystery. Mystery. The word deep really means profundity, understanding, wisdom, insight. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what that word has a connotation. I want you to thrust yourself out into something that you have no idea what it is, but you're going to understand by the time you're done. I've got something I want you to learn. There's a mystery out there, and I want you to show you what it is. I want to show you what it is. I want to take you someplace where you've never gone before. We've been out in that water before. Not like this. Not to do this. Thrust yourself out there into a mystery. I want you to launch out into the unknown and see God do the impossible. Jesus asked them to put themselves out there, and he would help them see things and understand things that have been hidden from them until now. God's trying to grow you. If you never do anything or go anywhere or anything that you haven't already done, then how's that growth? He wants to put you in something that you haven't done. Go someplace where you haven't been. Use you to do something you've never done before. He wants to use you. Number three. Listen to this statement. We cannot see the impossible until we launch out into the unknown. We cannot see the impossible until we launch out into the unknown. Look at verse 6. And when they had this done, gone out where he said, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Now, wait a minute. They went out. It was a mystery. They didn't expect this to happen. They've been out. They thought they had the world on the string. They thought they had all the understanding. They already knew that God was wrong. They knew that Jesus was wrong. It wasn't going to happen, but hey, we'll go ahead and do it. Until you go out, you know, if they had not gone out, they wouldn't have seen this happen. If you said no, and they would have left thinking, see, he's no different than anybody else. Number four. When we see the impossible, we see God. And when we see God, we see our sin. Let me say that again. When we see the impossible, we see God. See the hand of God. And when we see God, we see our sin. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, saw what? Saw all these fish, so many fish in the middle of the day that are ready to make the boat sink. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Basically saying, I don't deserve to be near you or to see you or have you do anything for me. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Look what God hath done. All because he was willing to launch out into the deep. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, no, it's right here. Peter at least had a fear of God. Letter B, Peter's faith may have seemed questionable, but it was enough to move him to action. It was enough to move him to action. Now, you don't have to have great faith. You have to have little faith in a great God. But you have to have alive faith. Maybe little, but it needs to be alive. Faith without works is dead. If it doesn't move you to do something, then the faith is dead. So I just wish I had faith, you know. Well, okay, but what we're really saying is I wish we had sight. I wish I could see it happen, and then I'd go ahead and do it. If I could see this happen just like this, just like he's calling me to do, if I could see that happen to that person and the same way, and that person the same way he's on, and that person the same way, and that person the same way, then I would figure, well, he could probably do it for me the same way. I think that's one of the reasons why God doesn't do it the same way. He wants you to have your own individual personal faith. He wants your heart individually. He's asking you to take a step of faith that only you can take. Why? On his word. Well, if he proved himself to me, I would. Well, how? Okay, you go out and make a universe. You take a shovel full of mud and make a person that can heal itself. It heals up. It has a mind and emotion can create. We can't do that. God doesn't need to prove himself to anybody. He already has. Creation itself declares his glory. That's just a cop-out. He had enough faith to move into action. At the word of Jesus, he cast out the net. By the way, a little later, at the word of Jesus, he walked on water. We all give him a hard time, but he's the one to cast out the net. If he didn't cast out the net, chances are the rest of them wouldn't have either. He's the one that walked on the water. The rest of them sat in the boat, sucked their thumb. Well, he fell down. Yeah, he did, but he got back up and looked at Jesus. Well, he denied him. Yeah, but God knew who he was. And he says, listen, meet me in Galilee. You love me? Hey, do you agape love me? You know I like you, Jesus. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do you love me with unconditional love? Well, you know I like you. You know I'm fond of you. You go back and read and look at the words love. There's phileo and there's agape. Jesus says, you agape me, unconditional? He says, yes, I phileo. I like you a whole lot. You're just like my brother. It says again, you love me unconditionally. God loves. He says, listen, I'm really fond of you, Jesus. And the third time he says, so you're really fond of me. And it says it grieved him that he realized that, okay, yeah, that's it. He said, feed my sheep. He said, by the way, there'll come a day where they'll dress you with things you don't want to be dressed with. They'll haul you out, put you in chains, and you won't like it. But you'll be willing to stand for me. In other words, there's going to be a day when you will love me, Peter. Maybe it's just affection right now. But one of these days you are going to love. I know who you are, and I can use that. And God takes us right where we are and says, I'm going to make something good out of you. I'm going to make something great, great out of you. Just give us time. Number five, God wants us to go into the business of doing the impossible. God wants us to go into the business of doing the impossible. When I say business, I mean this is your calling on life. Look at verse 10. And so was James and John, also amazed, astonished, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Fear not. Don't be frightened. Don't be alarmed. Don't be overly in all of this. You think this is something? This is nothing compared with what I'm about to ask you to do. Fear not. Listen, you know that there was no fish there. There shouldn't have been any fish, but I brought out so much fish, so many fish that both boats were ready to sink. And you know how impossible that is. So he was sitting where Peter understood. He knew what Peter understood, the fishing business. And he knows that was impossible. He says, you think that's something? I'm going to let you catch men. I'm going to let you change lives. And when he says it could have catch men, I'm sure that Peter and Andrew and James and John didn't know all that was going on there. Although they probably heard him speaking because it was in their boat. He says, I got something that, how could we change men's lives? How could we help bring about what you just preached about? I'm the one that helped you catch the fish, didn't I? I'm the one that's going to help you catch the men. Listen, all you did was cast out the net and brought in the harvest. That's what I need you to do.
but we're going to do it with men. You're going to cast out the net, but I will bring the harvest. I will bring the blessing. How would you, he said, how would you like to do what only God can do? I've had folks say, you know, I wish I could lead somebody to the Lord. I wish I could just, you know, help my family, whoever it is, you know, but wish I could do that. Jesus said, if you think it's astonishing for the way he filled up those two boats with fish, he says, I have something even more astonishing for you to do. See, we're not God. We can't do this. But God is God, and he can. We're, to be honest, the reason we get afraid is because we're doing it in the flesh. Oh, I got to convince these people. No. Learn the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Say a little prayer in your heart. Lord, let them see you in all this. Well, they didn't get saved. Well, sometimes you water, sometimes you plant. But God gives the increase. Well, I don't want to do it if they refuse. Also, it's all about you now. They're going to hurt your feelings because they rejected Christ. Well, they rejected Christ. If they reject you, they rejected Christ first. They reject Christ. They're really rejecting the one who sent him, the Bible says. If they'll reject God, well, why do you think they're not going to reject you? Our job is to give the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't have to take somebody by the nape of the neck and say, do you believe me or not? I mean, sometimes we feel like we want to do that, but that's flesh. Number six, they thrust themselves into a mystery. They thrust themselves into a mystery. It says that when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. He says, cast out, launch out into the deep, into a mystery. And I'm going to show you something that's beyond who you are. That took a lot to do that. But sometimes God allowed, listen, that's simple. Just obey me and I'll show you my power, God says. If you won't follow them the little bit, you're not going to follow the big stuff. You realize they probably wouldn't have got the call to follow him to make be fishers of men if they weren't willing to follow him just to go out and go fishing. Sometimes we're waiting for the big call, something that's going to make us a big shot somewhere, and we're not willing to obey the little things he asks us to do. They were tired. They've been fishing all night. They already cleaned the nets. You know what that means? They got to clean the nets again. Maybe that's why when you put one, it says you cast out the nets and you put one out. I don't want to clean both of those things again. God calls us and we're afraid to launch out in the deep. Now watch, he says they forsook all and followed him. That was launching out into the deep. They took their life and said, I don't know where we're going. I'm not even sure what exactly we're doing, but we're going to go catch men. Let's go. I don't know where it's going to end up. I don't know where he's going to take us. I don't know what's going to happen while we're doing it. But I'm going to go because the Lord's called for us to go. When you start serving God, you never know what you're going to run into. Preachers know that. And a lot of you folks have been around. You don't know what the world you're going to run into. Man, I've run into witches and all kinds of things when I've knocked on doors. You don't want to talk to me. I'm a witch. I said, that's okay. Jesus can save you too. You know, I mean, come on. You don't know what you're going to run into, but that's okay because God knows what you're going to run into. He's already there. It didn't surprise him because you're not doing it. He's doing it. Listen, when he cast out the net, he says, there's no fish out there. I've been fishing all night. Jesus says, I know where there's fish. I know where there's fish. And by the way, some of you heard me preach this message, Meet Me in Galilee, a couple years ago on Easter. This event, when Jesus was risen, the meeting by the seashore, and Peter said, had said, you know what, I'm going fishing. The other guy said, let's go fishing together. So they're out there, and Jesus shows up on the shore. He says, you catch anything? Throw the net on the other side. And they throw the net down there, and they got a big haul. And they said, we've been here before. It's the Lord. And Peter jumps into the water and swims on over to shore. All the denial and everything that Peter had done wrong, you know what Jesus did? He brought him right back to the same point where he started from. He said, remember how I told you, and how I showed you that you don't do the work, I do the work. You just be the vessel. You be the tool, and I'll use you. Yeah, I do. Do you love me? Yeah, I like you. Feed my sheep. He knew even then Peter was not going to be everything he needed to be. And he knows you're not going to be everything you need to be. He knows Sterling Walsh not going to be everything he's supposed to be. But he says, if you let me do it, I can do some great things. If you're willing to step into the unknown, well, I don't know what it's going to be. Step into the unknown, I'll show you the impossible. You start serving God. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Jesus knows where the fish are. Even when it seems unlikely. We don't have all the answers. Well, I can't win somebody to Jesus. No, you can't. But God can. We're almost done. Let me read just a couple of verses to you. John 16, Jesus, last night on earth. 16 verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient, it's best for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which we know in other places he calls the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that shows them the truth. Acts 1:8. Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Luke 24:46, they said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Pronounced. Heralded. Tell it. He didn't say, thou shalt, you know, you're going to have to go out and convince them. No, you go out and preach the gospel. Verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things, because you have yourself been saved. You've seen these things. You see what he did on the cross. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What's that? The Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. They were amazed and astonished at Jesus because he spoke with such power and authority. And then he says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then that before he leaves, he says, listen, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. I know I've spent a lot of time with this. That's because Luke spent a lot of time with this. We've got to be careful. There's an awful lot of ministries that started. I remember hearing Jack Hiles preach about this one time. He talked about how, you know, when young preacher boys, they get all fired up and want to go out and win the world. And they literally do spend hours and hours on their knees, and they're begging God for his power and his help. And, Lord, use me. I don't want to be just any old preacher. I don't want to just stand up and fill time. You know, I want to fill the hearts of the people with the Word of God and see them be saved and do something. And the fact is, things start doing well. And listen, and I'm preaching this as much for me as it is for our church in general. We got a nice building out here. In about 3 weeks, we're going to move in there. And a lot of churches die right there. Well, we accomplished what we were supposed to do. What? make a big to-do in the society. So everybody drives by and says, wow, what you all doing up there? I get that all the time. What are you building back there? Boy, that's a big thing. What are you doing out there? What are you going to do? You know, and all this stuff. And it could be just it could be as bad for me as anybody else. Maybe worse. The goal was not to catch fish. To look like we have a big business going on. We're here to catch men. To pull them out of the drink. Give them life more abundantly. Give them the gospel. That's our goal. And I remember old Jack Kyle saying, you know what happened? They do that. And after a while, they say, well, you know, the ministry kind of feeds itself. People come, people go, but because there's lots to offer, the programs and so forth keeps the momentum up and you keep the numbers up. But keeping the numbers up doesn't mean that the church grew. The church is the people, and the peoples are the souls. So the souls have to grow. And since souls don't gain weight or multiply by what you call it, like an amoeba, you know, we have to grow. We got to continue to grow by giving the gospel, preaching the word of God. It's got, if otherwise, we're going to lose, we'll lose what we have, and it'll die right there. So he was telling those old preachers, those preacher boys, he says, you know what you need to do? Go back to your first love. Loving on the Savior. Spending time with him. And you're not too careful. You say, I'm too busy. That you're too busy not to. And if you're too busy, then stop something. Because you know what we're doing? We're doing. But we can't do it. And a generation goes by, and another generation goes by, and the momentum looks good, but the spiritual welfare of the church goes down the tube. Because we were hanging on to a church rather than holding on to a God. You lose a generation, and you wonder what happened. Can't do that. That's a terrible analogy. You see the old saying, you say, dance with the one that brought you, that brung you. You know? Listen, God picks us up from the trash heap and puts us on a solid rock. Don't walk with him, don't walk away from him when you feel too big for your britches. Don't walk away from him. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for these dear folks. And Lord, these folks are great folks. These are workers and leaders, and Lord, I just pray that you help us to keep our focus on you, not just the author that got things started, we'll take it from here, but the finisher of our faith. Because if we don't finish with you, we're not going to finish well. Lord, I pray that you help us keep our eyes on you. And not only that, Lord, may we surrender. See your Holy Spirit do the work. And for those who maybe have never really stepped out on faith because it seemed just a little too scary or didn't seem to make sense, or help them to realize that when God calls us into the unknown, it's only unknown to us. It's not unknown to him. It's not. It seems like a mystery to us, but it's not a mystery to him. And though it looks like something we cannot do, it's nothing, because nothing's impossible with God. Lord, speak to us. Thank you for what you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a hymn, 397, Little as Much When God Is In It. The altar's open. Lord, spoke it to your heart here. This evening, would you come or make a little altar where you are? You go ahead and play.